Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only knows this, who is the good among us and who is acceptable among us. Okay, so this is something been done by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is to be finished there. Hadith number 439, page 190. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ألبسوا من ثيابكم البيض فإنها من خير ثيابكم وكفنوا فيها موتاكم. That Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم in this hadith is telling us about the garments that we should wear it in this life as well as after our death. So he's saying, wear your white garments. Okay? And he said, thiyab. And the thobe is known to be, okay? So there is encouragement in this hadith that for us to wear the thobe. Okay? And also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam specialized the white color, the white thobe. Okay? And he said, because it's from the best of your garments. The thobe and the white one is the out of the best of your garment, and do what? And shroud your dead body in it. And use it also as a kafan for the dead one among the Muslims. Hadith, and the hadith is authentic. Hadith number 440. وعن جابر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا كفن أحدكم أخاه فليحسن كفنه. رواه مسلم. حديث reported by جابر رضي الله عنه, and the hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim. So the hadith is authentic. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم telling us that when one of us shrouds his brother, does not mean your brother, mean from your mother and your brother in Islam, okay, he should use a good shroud and be good. That means have something enough sufficient to cover, okay, from head to toe. Don't bring something short, don't bring something dirty. Don't say, okay, that he's your brother and you should shroud him in a better fashion and better way to be from the ihsan and the good treatment to your Muslim brother, that give him something good. But this does not mean for you to go to the extreme and buy something which is very expensive. Okay? Yeah. And the last hadith for now, inshallah, so we can give a chance for the salah for those people who rush. Hadith number 441 in page 190. وعنه, that means Jabir also, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يجمع بين الرجلين من قتل أحد في ثوب واحد ثم يقول أيهم أكثر أخذا للقرآن فيقدمه في اللحد ولم يغسلوا ولم يصلى عليهم. The hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari رحمة الله عليه. The hadith is authentic, reported by Jabir that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم he used to shroud two people in after the battle of Uhud in two sheets, and he used to bury more than one in the grave, and he used to ask first before he buries him which one have more Quran, which one more memorization. Okay, so even after your death, okay, even after your death, it's still Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was concerned about which one have more memorization of the Quran to give him the advantage and give him the privilege to put him in the grave first. So this hadith shows us the permissibility of shrouding more than one, but this was what after the battle of Uhud. Okay? So it was almost like necessity. And also the permissibility, like if there is not enough space, or that there is something habit as a Muslim, that you can also bury more than one Muslim in the same time. Also, this hadith is telling us that the martyrs, the shuhada, the one who dies in the battlefield defending Islam and the Muslims, okay, not for any other foolish reason, that those people not to be washed neither to be prey on them, because their deed is sufficient enough blessings for them. They die as a martyr fi sabilillah. They don't need this salah, they don't need this washing, they don't need any of these things. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the best ending of this life, inshallah. And inshallah we'll continue in the class after Salat al-Isha for those who would like to continue with us, inshallah. Next hadith, inshallah, which is in page 191, hadith number 442. Not too much comments on this hadith because the hadith is weak. It is in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood, reported by Ali, and the degree of the hadith to be weak, so we leave it alone, inshallah. Hadith number 443, عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لها, لو مت قبلي لغسلتك, لو مت قبلي لغسلتك. حديث رواه أحمد وابن ماجة. The hadith in the collection of Imam Ahmad, Ibn Majah, and Ibn Hibban. The hadith reported by Aisha, and the hadith is Hassan, is good. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told his wife Aisha, if you die before me, I will wash you. Okay? And from this hadith, we see that the permissibility of the man washing his wife. Okay? The permissibility of the man washing his wife. And this also applies that also it is permissible for the woman to wash her husband. And the death does not revoke or doesn't violate the relationship between the husband and wife, like some people say that if the man die, understand this it, or if the woman dies, this it, okay? But, and also shows the concern and the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to his wife Aisha, and how that he as a husband sallallahu alaihi wasallam tried to make her feel good, okay, by showing her his consideration and his love to her even after his death, that he will take care of washing her body. Hadith number 444, وعن أسماء بنت عميس رضي الله تعالى عنها أن فاطمة رضي الله تعالى عنها أوصت أن يغسلها علي رضي الله تعالى عنه, رواه الدارقطني. The hadith is Hassan. Okay. Hadith reported by Asma bint Umayyah that Fatima, she was the youngest among the daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, and she is the most important lady of this ummah. Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu an married her in Ramadan, second year of Hijrah, and wedded her in Dhul Hijjah. She was then 15 years old and 5 months old. She was then 15 years and 5 months old. She died in Ramadan, the 11th year of Hijjah, and after the death of her father. And Ali radiallahu an, her husband, he had carry out her will or her wishes. Okay, again, like I said, the permissibility of the husband washing the wife after he pass away, or the permissibility of the wife washing the husband, that is okay. Hadith number 445, عن بريدة رضي الله عنه رضي الله تعالى عنه في قصة الغامدية التي أمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم برجمها في الزنا, قال ثم أمر بها فصلي عليها ودفنت. that this woman that had committed adultery or illegal sex, okay, and as a result of this, the punishment is to be stoned to death. So this woman, after she got her punishment, and as a result of this, she died, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made janazah on her and she been buried. And this shows you that committing the sin does not turn the Muslim to a kafir. Okay? Committing a sin doesn't turn the Muslim to a kafir, except if the Muslim he treated this sin to be lawful. There is nothing called, you understand, halal and haram, I do whatever I want, okay? But this woman, she did something wrong, she got the punishment, so this is forgiveness for her, and as a result of this, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he performed the obligation of a Muslim towards the other Muslim, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made the janazah on her, and she was buried also. And this hadith is in the collection of Imam Muslim, so the hadith is authentic. Next hadith, which hadith number 446, وعن جابر بن سمرة بن سمرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال أتي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم برجل قتل نفسه بمشقاس فلم يصلي عليه رواه مسلم. The hadith, the collection of Imam Muslim, the hadith is authentic, reported by Jabir concerning this man who had committed suicide. He had killed himself with a broad-headed arrow was brought before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, so Rasulullah alaihi wasallam, he didn't perform the janazah on him, and this doesn't mean that the man is a kafir, okay? But here the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the head of the state, he's the governor, okay? So it shows his disapproval of what the man did, but this does not negate that somebody else will perform the salah on the person. Okay? So, as example, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to ask when they bring somebody for him to perform a janazah on him, he will ask, does he own any debt? So if he owe any debt, he say, you pray on him. Okay? This also to show you that the Prophet ﷺ doesn't approve, okay, that Muslim taking the property of the other Muslims and not returning. So this does not make the person to be a kafir, and we say the Prophet ﷺ didn't pray on him because that reason. So this person, he had killed himself for whatever reason that he did it. Rasulullah ﷺ didn't perform the prayer on him, but this doesn't make him to be a kafir or to forbid that somebody else will perform the prayer over him. And the hadith is authentic. Hadith number 447, page 192, وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه في قصة المرأة التي كانت تقوم المسجد قال فسأل عنها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقالوا ماتت فقال أفلا كنتم آذنتموني فكأنهم صغروا أمرها فقال دلوني على قبرها فدلوه فصلى عليها متفق عليه. This hadith reported by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him. The hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, the hadith is authentic. This a woman, she used to sweep the masjid, she used to clean the masjid. She took in charge of this position to clean the masjid. And when this woman, she passed away, it seemed like was like late night, and the Sahaba, they decide not to disturb the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his sleep or during time of privacy. So they went and they took care of the janazah and the funeral, and they fulfilled the obligation towards her. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa one day he missed the woman. He didn't see her. So he asked, where is this woman? She used to do the cleaning of the masjid. So, O Prophet of Allah, she passed away. He said, how come you didn't tell me? Okay. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked, where is the grave? Where is her grave? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went to the grave of the woman and performed prayer on her. Okay. And this shows you also that how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was concerned about the followers of the members of his community. And regardless whatever a person doing, he still have a contribution to the community. And how honorable work that she was doing, cleaning the masjid. And that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made a special trip to her grave to perform the prayer, because the prayer of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a special reward and a cause of mercy and forgiveness for the dead people, and also shows you the permissibility of praying on the person even after they die on the grave if you did not had performed the prayer on it. Okay. And this also shows that if it's something that is still, like you say, recently, you don't go after 2-3 years, you understand, and you go to make the salah. وزاد مسلم ثم قال إن هذه القبور مملوءة ظلمة على أهلها وأن الله ينورها لهم بصلاة عليهم. And also the other narration which is the collection of Imam Muslim, which is authentic, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us why he went and make salah on the grave and said that these graves are full with darknesses. For its dwellers, the people who is inside, okay, this graves are full with darknesses upon those people who are inside, and Allah will enlighten or will lighten the graves as a result of my prayer. Okay? So this is the reason that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he went and made the salah on the grave. Hadith number 448, page 193, وعن حذيفة رضي الله تعالى عنه ان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان ينهى عن النعي. رواه احمد النعي رواه احمد والترمذي وحسنه. This hadith is a collection of Imam Ahmad and at-Tirmidhi, and in Musnad Abu Shayba, and the degree of the hadith is Hasan, and that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he had forbade na'i. The na'i is a special form of announcement for the dead person. Okay? That like people, they go in a horse with a horn as example, and they be walking, they go stop by all the stores, all shops, markets, so and so die, so and so die. Okay? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had forbade this kind of informing others about the death of somebody. Okay? And one of the forms that we see it nowadays, they put it in the newspaper and put it in the bulletin board and things like this, and in the radio and the TV, okay? It is the permissibility will be for relatives or righteous people as examples that he expecting them to come to perform a prayer over this person, or the relatives, they understand, to come and if they have any rights in the inheritance or whatever it is, to be informed, okay? But some people, they do it out of what you call for fame, okay? And to be became, you understand, like some form of honoring the dead person, okay? That everybody should have to know that so-and-so had passed away, okay? وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نعى النجاشي في اليوم الذي مات فيه okay. وخرج بهم إلى المصلى فصفى بهم وكبر عليه أربعاء. This hadith in the collection of Imam Bukhari and Muslim, authentic, reported by Abu Huraira that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم had informed his community concerning the death of An-Najashi, okay, the king of Abyssinia, because he had took shahada, okay, and you remember that this man who had protected the Muslims when they went for the first migration, okay, so when he passed away, the Prophet ﷺ, he informed the Sahaba, and they went the next day. That he announced to them, he informed them in the same day that Najashi had passed away. This is also from how that the Rasul ﷺ would know, and this man lives all the way down there by Sudan, and the Prophet ﷺ living in Medina, okay? With no any fax machines or any computers or anything like this, okay? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed him, and he informed his Sahaba immediately in the same day. And since this country is Christian country, and the Prophet ﷺ, he understood that nobody had performed the janazah prayer on him, so he took the Sahaba and went to the Musalla. And the Musalla is a special place which is they perform the Eid or they make the janazah prayer on it, okay? So he took the Sahaba and he went out and he made lines and he made four takbir for Salat al-Janazah, okay? And this what they call it Salat al-Ghaib, the absent prayer, okay? If somebody dies someplace, and in this country that you get to know that nobody made the Janazah prayer on him, that you can make it in your locality, bring the Muslims together and you perform it, okay? But if the person pass away in Islamic country, or that in a country which is Muslim there, and you know that they already performed the janazah, there is no need for repeating the janazah again. Okay? This is one thing. Also, we understand from this hadith that the takbir during the salah for janazah is four. Also, we understand from this hadith that there is a musalla to go outside to pray on the janazah. Does not have to be in the mosque. Okay? You can perform the janazah prayer out of the mosque. Also, you understand from this hadith that the Muslims, they will stand in ranks for salat al-janazah. Okay? And the hadith is authentic.